Good evening, everybody. I'm good. We're almost at the end of our second last week, isn't it, on the series of seven. So in John, the seven signs and the seven I ams. Now, I said to Matt before, look, I'm not as good as Matt. I just couldn't fit the sign in tonight, the Jesus and the blind man. So we're only going to be looking at the I am. Before we do, I'm going to pray. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, tonight as we look at your word, just help me to speak it with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will work miracles, and that you will work through the hearts and minds and lives of all of us, of myself and everyone here. Just help me to speak honestly and openly, Lord. Amen. So we're looking at I Am the Vine. Now, in the series, this is the second last one in the series. We've still got next week. But chronologically, it's the last I Am statement in the book of John. It's literally less than a day, I don't know, 12, 18 hours before Jesus goes to be crucified. He's had the Last Supper. He's washed his disciples' feet, and he's just about to go and leave and basically go towards crucifixion, or arrest, and everything in between. But before he does, he says this. Now I'm going to read, and it's from John 15. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, just remember to turn the amp on before you start playing guitar. Otherwise, it's going to be really quiet. Okay, so John 15, and it's starting at verse 1. We're just going from verse 1 to about verse 6. Jesus says this, "I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Two things we're going to quickly look at tonight. The first thing is about being grafted. And the second thing is about being pruned. I remember about 15 years ago at Swansea High School, I did a course called Rock and Water. I was involved in a mentoring program there with Newcastle University's Family Action Centre, and they got me to do this course, and it was pretty fun. Has anyone ever done Rock and Water? A few of you have. Okay, well, you'll know what I'm talking about. When I did it before it was cool. You know, I did it. I think the guy who wrote it and did it, it was his first trip out to Australia, and a guy from the Netherlands or somewhere, I can't quite remember now. And he was quite an interesting guy. Anyway, it was to help young people learn to deal with issues like, you know, bullying and stress, and generally help them to stay cool and emotionally grounded in hard times. And that's not a bad thing. And the concept, it was all about being grounded. And now, is that correct, people that have done it? The term grounded was used? And that concept was so when things would go bad, you could
could stand back, breathe, collect your thoughts, you know, feel the ground beneath you, feel that you remember who you were and the strength inside you. And I must admit, when I was younger, I did quite a bit of martial arts. So
don't mess with me, okay?
No, I did martial arts, and a lot of it was very similar. And I will say about this kind of stuff, some of it is good. Some of it is helpful. Some of it is not so, and maybe, you know, you want to be discerning about some of those things. But there was some useful information in this course. And the concept of being grounded, of knowing who you are and where you fit and how you stand, is an important thing. But for me, and I believe for all Christians, the central issue is, where do you get this from? Where do you get your grounding from? And the passage that we've just read is all about being grounded in Jesus. In fact, grounded isn't really even a good term here. We're not talking about having our feet on the ground. We're talking about being attached to a living vine. I am the vine. And the passage is about being grafted into Jesus, about getting our strength, our purpose, our vitality, all from one source, Jesus. Now, on a grapevine, because Jesus is actually talking about a grapevine, he's not talking about, you know, a kind of horrible vine that, you know, grows at the back of Matt's place. That's now dead and gone and has been butchered, so it's all good. You don't have to worry about that. But on a grapevine, you know, the sum of all that vitality and growth is seen what? In the nice fruit, the grapes. I was lucky enough a few weeks ago to be with my mum as well in the Barossa Valley, and all these grapes, everything else was dead and brown. There'd been no rain there for literally for months. My aunt and uncle have a winery, and the dams were dry and everything was dying. But the grapes in most of the places were still really beautiful. And they do, like a really well-tended vine, it's amazing what comes out of it. And anyway, so for these vines that Jesus is talking about, the sum of how healthy it is comes out in the grapes. But for us, for a follower of Jesus, well, we don't grow grapes. All of the strength, purpose, vitality and direction we get through Jesus can be seen in our actions, in our character and in our relationships. And all of that can be seen, of course, in the famous passage in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. These are the things that we get through being grafted into the vine. Now, one of the best things about Jesus' agricultural illustrations is their straightforward simplicity. They're simple to understand, aren't they? So I thought I'd explain the process of grafting to you to make it even clearer. Grafting is an asexual propagation technique, and it involves the scion of one cultivar species onto a separate rootstock. Hang on. The primary requirement is a viable cambium contact, that is the xylem. And does anyone here do biology? Yeah, xylem and a phloem. You know what a phloem? It spells like phlegm. But hey, look, I tell you what, we're gonna ignore this. Forget it. I'm not gonna make it easier for you at all. We might skip the grafting process. But what everyone understood back then in Jesus' day is, and what anyone who's into wine and viticulture and grapes and things today can understand, is that vines can have branches from another vine attached.
it's done quite a bit. And a lot of the time it works, most of the time it works, and sometimes it doesn't. And how do you tell? Well, if the new branch grows grapes and it looks good, it worked. If it kind of withers and dies and is sickly, it doesn't work. I tried to explain grafting on a scientific level and it didn't really work at all. So let me try explain what Jesus being the vine means to me, and hopefully I think to most of you too. You see, I was born sinful and separated from God. I learned in my teenage years that Jesus could remove my sin, could make me perfect, could make me holy before God, and that by following him, I could over time be transformed more and more into the person that Jesus wants me to be. He wants us all to live lives of consequence. He wants us to impact other people for good. Not just other people, but other situations. He wants to impact this world. He wants us to be part of the transformation of this world. When I became a Christian, I was grafted onto the vine, onto Jesus. And his vine, his source of life, is all-sustaining. If I'm not growing slowly into Jesus, it's not the vine. It's me. If I'm not bearing fruit, it's not the vine. It's me. If I'm not producing fruit, then I can tell you there are things in my life that are in the way. Desires, money, relationships, habits, mindsets, whatever it may be, pride. The problem is not the vine, it's us. And this is where God steps in and helps. Every now and again you'll hear a sermon where the preacher says, well, who are you in this story? The crucifixion's a good one. I've heard this a few times. You have Jesus on the cross, and you have two criminals next to him making fun of him, one guilty criminal next to him kind of putting his faith in him. You have the bored soldiers kind of rolling dice for Jesus' clothes. They just want to be out of there. You've got the disciples standing in tears thinking what's happened. You've got the other disciples running off. Anyway, you get the picture. And you get all these things and they say, well, who are you in this story? I'm not very good at that kind of stuff, so thankfully, this passage is very, very clear. Verse 1, this is Jesus talking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Then in verse 5, you are the branches. And so if we're grafted into Jesus, who gives us the way and the life and the vitality, what's the role of God the gardener? He cuts off, in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. God prunes. Now, I've watched people pruning before, and watching a skilled horticulturalist do their job is quite entrancing. A little snip here and a few cuts there, and you kind of think they're just butchering this plant, but they're not. And just the way they do it, it's interesting. I found it interesting anyway. I looked at one on YouTube. But remember one thing. It's all, Jesus is the vine, God is the gardener, and what are you? Right, it's all a case of perspective, isn't it? Has anyone here ever been attacked by someone wielding a really sharp pair of reinforced scissors? Okay. Anyone? It's like Edward Scissorhands coming after you. It's not a good concept. Pruning a vine makes it more fruitful, but it requires some changes that can be very painful and very abrupt. And that goes for us. Going back to when I'm talking about if
if I'm not being fruitful, if there's stuff not coming on the vine, if we're not doing what we should be doing when we're grafted into Jesus, things need to be cut out. When I was preparing this sermon, I started to go down the line of discussing the topic of how God uses pain and suffering and hard situations to mold us and refine us. And it's a massive, important, big subject. And Matt actually did a good job of just touching on it this morning. But we're going to not really go down there tonight because it's huge. But God does use sometimes the painful experiences in our lives to help us grow. And I said before, when I've stopped growing, it's because of competing desires, relationships and pride. And by the way, I'm not saying, and Matt did the same thing, not saying that when we suffer, it's because God is trying to teach us something and God did it. A lot of my suffering has been from my stupidity. And a lot of suffering has been from stuff that I just can't fathom. And we can't fathom. And we don't have answers for, not this side of heaven anyway. But I know that sometimes when I've stopped growing, it's been because of competing desires, relationships, pride. The thing is, when God prunes, one of the biggest things that can pull you, as talking to someone just before church, that can pull you away from God is a competing relationship. And breaking a relationship, even a very one that's damaging to you, can be extremely painful. It can turn the world upside down for you. Having the pride knocked out of you can be hugely humiliating. In the long term, it can be great. But in the short term, it can be massively hurtful and humiliating and painful. I've never had the pride knocked out of me, so I wouldn't know. I'd just hear it from other people. But having your strength and ability, and I read a few things from a couple of guys, one a minister who's basically lost the use of both his arms because of a nervous disorder, and some of the insights that he's been having. But I can't comprehend having my strength and my ability to do my own thing, whether it might be physical, it might be economic, but having that ability to kind of look after yourself, cut from underneath you. Soul crushing. And I'm not saying that all of that's from God, but some of it is. And pruning is not something to be taken lightly. If you have a Christian friend who is going through really difficult times, one thing you never do is say, oh, don't worry, that's just God pruning you. It's all going to work out for good. That's not a helpful thing to say. A helpful thing to do is to listen and to be there and to pray and to help ask God, where are you in this situation? So we don't take pruning lightly. And we don't always expect answers to our prayer when it comes to suffering. But anyway, we've gone far enough, I think, down that area. But it is important. But when you are in hard circumstances and feeling the pain, I just call on you, please. Just ask God, where are you in this? What are you doing? Where are you leading me? Help me to go the way that you want me to go. Now, in this passage, we've talked a lot about Jesus, and we've talked about God, and we've talked about us. But for me, as a Christian who's been reading the Bible a lot in a long time and kind of, you know, likes the theology side of things, it kind of struck me that there's one thing missing in this passage. Well, one thing that really hits me that's missing in this passage. Does anyone got any idea what that might be? The Holy Spirit. We're talking about everything. We've got God the Father. We've got, you know, God the Son. We've got us. And we've got all this stuff happening. And the Holy Spirit. Don't fear.
because we've only looked at the first few verses in this chapter, and we're not going to really look at the other stuff. But near the end of the chapter, John starts of 16. John starts to talk about what to expect when the Holy Spirit comes. And early on in chapter 17, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. John chapter 16 and chapter 17 are actually one of the best pictures we have of the Trinity, of the triune God in the Bible. I know that some of you are going, oh, I didn't go to theological college, you know, stuff. But it's an important thing to remember that you have Jesus, just before he goes to be crucified, he gives this perfect picture of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they work in us. John 16 and 17 holds some of the most comforting images and promises in the Bible, and it's not an accident that at this point that John paints this picture. Jesus' closest followers and dearest friends are about to lose him, and they're about to go through the most painful experience of their lives. Some of them are going to renounce Jesus, even if only for a little while. Some of them are going to end up thinking that everything that they have followed and believed for the last few years was a lie or has been lost or has been wasted. And on the verge of that darkest day in their lives, Jesus talks to them and says, hey, remember, I'm the vine. Whatever is about to happen, stay grafted to me. This is just the start of some very difficult and painful experience, but the master gardener, he's going to be there. He's going to be pruning you. Stay in me. And by the way, I've got a surprise for you up my sleeve. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you in truth all the way. This whole chapter in John is where Jesus is speaking to his closest followers. And so tonight I've kind of been following that style. I've been talking to those of you who are followers of Jesus, those of you who are grafted into that vine. But maybe not all of you are like that. I don't know. There may be some of you who don't know if you've been grafted into the vine. You're not attached to Jesus who gives you life. Well, for you, it's important to remember what Jesus says. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to salvation. And just as importantly, there are real consequences to being an unforgiven sinner. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. We're about to have communion, which celebrates and remembers the fact that Jesus gave his life and his blood for us. The perfect sacrifice has been given so that you, as imperfect and as far away from God as you are, can stand perfect and holy before the Creator of the universe. Despite what you have done, there are times where I know that I do not have the right to stand before God and think that I can even look up. But I can, not because of what I've done, because of what Jesus has done. Now, if you are still alienated from God, then tonight I want to ask you to ask Jesus for forgiveness. Accept his death as a sacrifice that makes you acceptable to God. Despite how you feel. And I ask that you join us in taking the bread and the juice in communion we're about to have, that commemorates his death on the cross. And please, please, if tonight you want to ask Jesus to forgive you, if you want to ask Jesus to become your Savior, if you want to be grafted into that vine, please come and speak to Luke, to Matt, to myself afterwards. But I ask you, come and take this communion and thank Jesus and remember what he's done. And I pray that it really, maybe for some of you here for the first time, it's communion as a follower of Jesus. Please take that step. And please speak to, as I said, Luke, Matt, or myself, so we can pray with you and celebrate with you. Anyway, we're going to pray, we're going to have a song, and then we're going to have communion.